Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, February 1st, 2016, and with me today I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing well, man.
Awesome. And it's really awesome to have you here. And it's also awesome to have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. I've been fighting a bit of a chest cold, so you may notice my voice is a little different.
All right. Pro tip for everyone, we're not sharing coffee mugs today.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, since I don't actually drink coffee, it's pretty easy to...
Who knows? This may actually make my voice sound better.
Well, we can live in hope. Yeah. Hey, we have a couple topics that I thought would be really fun to hit today, so we might as well just dive in. The first thing that I wanted to take a look at is this whole thing that kind of exploded over the past few days in the news about Apple Maps showing like adoption centers as opposed to health centers and clinics and other places that would be what you would expect to see, like Planned Parenthood, if you did a search in Maps app or ask Siri to find you abortion clinics or abortion centers. And so the conclusion people have jumped to immediately was that Apple was intentionally blocking people from seeing the abortion-related results that they were expecting. And Apple has said that they've been going through the process of refining the search results that people get. And also, this isn't anything new. This is something that Apple's been dealing with since like 2011. And anyhow, it blew up. It turned into kind of this big thing over the weekend. And I'm curious, what do you guys think about this whole thing?
Well, Apple doesn't have an anti-abortion agenda. Apple has a search problem.
There you go.
I mean,
yep, that's what I think.
I mean, so first of all, in your piece, you did some testing, and it's very obvious that that lots of markets are not returning incorrect results. Some markets do, and that is a problem because it's not just this one particular area. It's there are plenty of areas where Apple Maps doesn't return the best results.
Right. Yeah. In my tests, I picked things to search for that might be related, you know, kind of loosely, but then also might be like hot button topics that if you were going to start filtering results so that people were seeing what you wanted them to see, that, you know, maybe I'd get results there. And what I found is that searching on abortion, searching on guns, things like that, I was getting exactly the results that I expected. When I did a search on strip clubs, however, I ended up getting like steak houses on the West Coast.
On the West Coast too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's solid.
Yeah. So, you know, I see stuff like that, and I just can't get on board with an Apple agenda, with an Apple conspiracy. If Apple has a conspiracy going on, I think it's a conspiracy of silence where they just don't tell people where they're having issues with their search results. And when people point out where there are issues, they're not talking and acknowledging anything until it becomes like some out of control media fest, like we just saw.
Yeah, which is, you know, that's kind of what Apple does. Like I said, the issue here isn't so much if Apple has any bias here. My guess, and I have no evidence of this whatsoever because it's never come up when Tim and I are having coffee. If Apple has any particular bias on the abortion issue, I'm guessing it's left of center.
I would bet you're right. I mean,
It leans towards the pro-choice side of things, but maybe not. Either way, Apple is not going to be playing political games with our search results. This is an issue of a mistake or I don't want to say incompetence because that's way too brutal, but this is not an agenda. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense.
Right. And keep in mind, a lot of the data that Apple is using to show us search results when we're looking for something in Maps, it's coming from third parties. And in this case, there's also the issue that if you're looking for, say, a Planned Parenthood facility, but you didn't search for Planned Parenthood specifically, and we're looking for abortion-related terms, Planned Parenthood probably wasn't going to come up at first because that's not how those clinics identify themselves.
It could be. So again, it comes down to Apple needing to be better in search, which really comes down to Apple needing a search engine. Why doesn't Apple launch a search engine? It would cut the knees out of its competition, and it would give it data that it can use for Siri and for Maps. And goodness gracious, it's just this topic is I can't believe we're even having to talk about it. Not the abortion aspect of this, but just the fact that Apple is having some sort of glaring Maps problem in 2016.
You know, Brian, I didn't used to agree with you on that. I didn't think Apple needed to reinvent the wheel, and there was better things to do for Apple. But recently I've run across some things that have made me move to your camp. And one of them is an article I read the other day about locksmiths, about scurrilous locksmiths figuring out ways to get themselves at the top of the search. So that when you search for a locksmith, you've locked yourself out of your house. They've figured out a way to be at the top of the list, and then you contact these people, and they're crooks, and they come over and they overcharge you or do worse. And all sorts of things like that are happening. And then I saw some other articles that kind of gave me pause about how Google's handling search. And so, you know, I'm moving towards your camp, Brian.
Wait a minute. So you think Apple needs to do search because Google's messing up? That's the reason why you want Apple to do search? Because Apple's going to mess up search for a long time.
Yep.
I mean, search is not easy. Apple, ask Yahoo.
You know, looking at the clamps that Apple has put on developers and the way they structure their systems, I'm thinking that Apple would probably approach search in a different way than Google does. So I'm just kind of moving in that direction. And the other thing I wanted to mention was that I'm vastly amused by the psychology of this event. And I think it's related to the email delay syndrome, where you're eager to get a response from somebody. You send them an email and you don't realize the person is out of town or in a meeting, or they read their emails on Wednesdays between 2 and 3. And you're sitting there fuming because you haven't gotten a Twitter-like response within a few minutes after you send the email. And so people are sort of pre-armed to expect a response from people and companies in a certain amount of time. And when events and circumstances get in the way, people become agitated. And they would become agitated, they start jumping to conclusions. And then it gets magnified, and all of a sudden the conclusion jumping is all over the internet. Fascinating.
Yes, it is. And the internet has proven to be an amazingly powerful conduit for spreading a message right or wrong very quickly.
Furby's a longtime TMO member. Furby's had a salient comment on your article about this, Jeff. It was never ascribe to malice that which was adequately explained by incompetence, and asked if that could explain what is going on here. And yeah.
That's perfect.
Absolutely.
That's perfect. Who's that quote from? I forget. It's a famous quote. Do we know who the origin is?
Let's search Google and find out.
Well played, Brian.
Hanlon's Razor. I have never heard of this. Named after Robert J. Hanlon. Although there are earlier incarnations of this phrase, too.
It's I think it's totally apt, and I think it's totally appropriate.
Perhaps often as part of a Murphy's Law discussion too.
And I don't mean to. I don't when I say that Apple is not good at search here. I mean Apple has done really well with Apple Maps, right? Apple Maps came a long way, really, really fast. But as you know, Eric Schmidt quipped in, and I just still want to punch him over this when he said that you know, Apple should just leave maps to them because maps are hard. I mean, Apple has shown that it can do maps. It's just it's going to take more time to get everything right. And it's going to be an ever-evolving process. And again, a search engine, I think, would help. An Apple search engine would help do some of these results. Speaking of which, by the way, you know how Tim Cook says that he doesn't think that I forget how he put it. One app needs to know what the other app is doing when it comes to our privacy.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember him saying that? You know?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact quote, but yes.
It was referencing Proactive. And Proactive to me is an exact example of precisely why Apple's apps should know what I'm doing in the other apps. That's probably another topic for another day, huh?
Yeah, we'll make a note because we should come back and talk about that at some point. Yeah. Or maybe that would be a good topic for us to dive into deeper on Apple Context Machine.
Just, you know, it's just interesting. Yeah, maybe an Apple Context Machine. It's interesting because search is so entwined in so many things that we want to use the internet for.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Now, okay, on the whole search thing and Apple starting a search engine, I think Apple will always be behind the curve compared to Google, because Apple isn't interested in mining our data in the same way that Google is. And because Google goes so deep into everything that we're doing, they can create a system that I think more efficiently and more effectively gives us the search results we're expecting or want.
They have more incentive to do so.
Right. And since Apple really doesn't want to have all that personal information on us, it's going to be harder for Apple to create a search engine product that can really go toe-to-toe with Google.
I'm reminded of the earnings report last week where at the very end, one of the analysts asked Tim Cook about monetizing their tremendous data center capacity. Remember that? Cloud services and all of the data server capacity that they have. And Tim Cook said, yeah, stay tuned, or something like that.
I think I missed that, John.
I missed that one, too. I'm assuming I missed it because I was already writing another article.
Well, they have the data center capacity to do some interesting things. So, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see. I know we could keep talking about this, but I really want to hit the other topic that I have on my list today. So, I'm just going to move us on.
Okay.
And that is your back page piece that you wrote on Friday, Brian. You wrote up a piece about Apple's supposedly secret virtual reality team and some of the stuff that's happening there. So what's up with that?
All righty. So the Financial Times, the London newspaper, the Financial Times, reported that Apple has put together a secret team dealing with virtual reality and augmented reality technologies. And this team has hundreds of people on it. So kind of like the secret team working on a car.
Which is kind of fascinating.
Right. It is kind of fascinating. And of course, the question is, what is Apple going to do with this team? Now, we know that Apple has bought various companies related to both of those spaces, the VR and the AR space. Mm-hmm. And the most recent hire was Doug Bowman. You covered that guy from
Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech, right. And Financial Times also had, what was the company? Some new company, Flyby Media. Is that right? Yeah, Flyby Media. Yep. Company with technology that allows devices to see the world around them. And PrimeSense the motion detection was a company they bought years ago. So anyway, Apple's been making lots of purchases here and doing lots of hiring. Doug Bowman is one of the more high profile ones of late. And so the question is, what is Apple doing with it?
That is a big question.
Well, you shouldn't ask me because I know the answer.
Or maybe we should. What do you think, John?
I think it's related to the car. I think it's a way to enhance the driver's awareness of the surroundings. I think we all, well, at least I surmise that the first generation electric car from Apple will be a conventionally driven car with a driver behind the wheel, and that autonomous cars are down the road. So what better way to use virtual reality than to enhance the driver's situational awareness of what's around him, eliminate blind spots, provide information on the windscreen that augments his ability to navigate safely and so on, and see under bad weather conditions. I mean, Cadillac's had that for a while, you know, a heads-up display of an infrared camera, things like that.
That could well be something that Apple is going to be leveraging some aspects of this technology, but that is not what, that's not the sole thing they're working on. There's no way. There is no way that the sole thing that they're working on is the display inside the car.
Do you think it's gaming on an Apple TV with this big block of plastic on your head?
Well, that actually is a great question because, let me get the Tim Cook's comment from an interview a while back was, quote, "We always thought that glasses were not a smart move from a point of view that people would not really want to wear them. Mm-hmm. They were intrusive instead of pushing technology to the background, as we've always believed. Mm-hmm. We always thought it would flop, and you know, so far it has." Zing! Johnny Ive said in an interview with The New Yorker that the face, quote, was the wrong place, unquote, for a computer. That was a very Apple Watch-centric interview.
Unless you're Jean-Luc Picard with a Borg.
Shush.
Okay.
Shush you.
Carry on, Brian.
Conference call with analysts last week.
Mm-hmm. Tim Cook, the Q1 earnings report.
Right. Tim Cook was specifically asked by Gene Munster about virtual reality and whether or not. Gene tried to get Tim Cook to say something about virtual reality. And Tim actually did. He said, in terms of virtual reality, no, I don't think it's a niche. I think it can be. It's really cool and has some interesting applications. The "can be," by the way, was "can be cool." I think the way I said it was not properly inferring, relating his inference. But Apple is clearly doing something in the VR space. The two top people at Apple have said that the glasses are bad.
Right. So that tells me that they're not doing glasses, or they are telling people that until they figure out how to do it in a way that they think is better.
Yeah, but, you know, Tim Cook doesn't work that way. Steve Jobs did.
That's a good point.
Tim Cook does not work that way. Tim actually Tim always says Tim's approach towards telegraphing intentions has always been more along the lines of acknowledging the need of acknowledging the needs that a particular technology or product idea are trying to address, while saying that, but we don't think it's being addressed well.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right, Brian.
And, you know, whereas Steve would just lie to us. You know, Steve would tell us things like, you know, we're not going to do a video iPod. It's about the music, stupid.
I'm not going to do a 7-inch iPad.
Yeah, well, why would we do that? That's crazy.
Yeah, you know. Good point.
I don't know. So I really don't know where this is actually going. I mean, clearly Apple isn't going to be building the holodeck yet. That's a couple years out.
Well,
you know,
I'm so disappointed.
Maybe it would be driving glasses. Maybe it would be a Google Glass, very lightweight thing that you wore only while you were driving, in order to into the sensors and the cameras and so on.
So there's no way that Apple is going to make a massive investment in some kind of augmented reality heads-up display for their car when they're working on making their cars driverless.
Oh, no, I disagree. I think this is just a stepping stone. I think it's going to be many years. If Apple's trying to generate a new generation electric car in 2019, that's only 3 years away. I think the autonomous time window is a little further out than that.
But it's not going to be much further out than that. And I can't see investing in this many people for something that really has applications that are targeted towards a stepping stone product that'll be around for a couple. Well,
maybe it ties into the autonomous car in certain legal ways. I'm just blowing hot air here, but I seem to recall there was some discussion by the government that an autonomous car still had to be under the control of a human being, or at least capable of having control seized by a human being. So maybe the virtual reality technology would carry over in such a way that the participant could seize control of the vehicle and manipulate it without having to have conventional control.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of wishful projecting.
Yeah, well, I know. That's my job.
No. Okay, fine. Wishful projecting? Anyway, there is something else in the works here. It could end up still being glasses. It's possible that the glasses comments were misdirections to basically say that, you know, wearable technology should be on your wrist by an Apple Watch. It's possible that that's the case. I kind of doubt it. It certainly would not be what Apple has done under Tim Cook, but I don't see what else it can be. To John's credit, surely Apple's heads-up display in its car is going to, there's going to be a heads-up display, and it could absolutely and positively have some AR aspects to it. I just don't think that's all this team is working on.
I'm with you, Brian. I think it's car and something else. I don't think it's glasses, and part of that is because if you start doing something with glasses, you want it to be, if it's Apple, something that people use all the time. And that means you need to convince people that don't ever wear glasses that they need to wear glasses.
Well, but from virtual reality, until they can kind of jack into our heads the hard way, virtual reality is all about seeing. So right. It's all about your eyes, which means it's all about...
What clever, cool thing are they doing that we haven't been able to imagine yet that lets it be for our eyes without having to go out and buy special glasses?
The thing that I think of when I hear that is the iPhone. You know, how many more years are we going to be holding this display in our hands where we have to stare at it? We'd like to be able to expand our visual field and do more things and have a larger display to manipulate. And I don't know enough about it, but I surmise that someday we'll get it without the hard implants imposing signals on the optic nerve. One day we'll have iPhone controls and images floating in space in front of us without having to wear glasses.
Yeah, someday.
Someday.
That's not what these hundreds of people are working on today. That stuff's far out.
Right.
Everything has to start somewhere.
That's true. Hey, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Always.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome, despite my hoarse voice, which I apologize for.
That's all right. It's always great to have you, regardless of the state of your voice. Listeners, it's always great to have you here as well. So thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.